Good morning and welcome to our worship service on this Reformation Sunday. Reformation Day and Reformation Sunday are also called the Festival of the Word. It's a reminder that we don't come here today to celebrate, not primarily celebrate a man or even celebrate the fact that we are Lutherans. We're celebrating the fact that God's Word has been restored to us and given to us, and its saving power still works in our hearts. We begin our worship service today then with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, fill our hearts with the light of your word. Lead us to confess our faith in you and to confess our sins to you and rejoice in your promise of salvation. Move us to love as we've been loved and to live as you would have us live, to the glory of your saving name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We begin with our first hymn, By Grace I'm Saved.
I'm sorry.
Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the middle of page 3. We begin our worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against You in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved You above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. Almighty and gracious Lord, pour out Your Holy Spirit on Your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in Your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies, and grant to Your church Your saving peace. We pray this through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. For our first scripture reading on this Reformation Sunday, we'll be reading responsively Psalm 46. This is a psalm that's often read on Reformation Day or on Reformation Sunday because it's the psalm on which Luther based his famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. In between some of the verses of the psalm, we'll be singing the verses of A Mighty Fortress. It begins on the bottom of page 4. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling.
Thank you.
There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Our second reading for this morning is from Romans chapter 3. We read verses 19 through 28. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. One of the key tenets of the Reformation is that we are justified, that is, declared not guilty in God's sight, by faith in God's grace alone. Paul illustrates that and writes about it in these words from Romans, that we're not justified because of our works according to the law, but by God's grace according to our faith. Now we know that whatever the law says is addressed to those who are under the law, so that every mouth will be silenced and the whole world will be subject to God's judgment. For this reason, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by works of the law, for through the law we become aware of sin. But now, completely apart from the law, a righteousness from God has been made known. The law and the prophets testify to it. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all and over all who believe. In fact, there is no difference, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God publicly displayed as the atonement seat through faith in His blood. God did this to demonstrate His justice, since in His divine restraint He had left the sins that were committed earlier unpunished. He did this to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so that He would be both just and the one who justifies the person who has faith in Jesus. What happens to boasting then? It has been eliminated. By what principle? By the principle of works? No, but by the principle of faith. For we conclude that a person is justified by faith without the works of the law. Here ends our scripture readings. We continue with our next hymn, "Lord, Keep Us Steadfast in Your Word." Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God. This time we'll do it with the second article of the Apostles' Creed, a confession of faith in the Lord's Son, Jesus Christ, beginning on the bottom of page 7. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood and His innocent suffering and death. He did this that I should be His very own, live under Him in His kingdom, and serve Him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and joy. Just as He is risen from death, lives and reigns in eternity, this is most certainly true. You may be seated. We'll continue with our next hymn, Salvation unto us has come. We'll sing the verses that are printed in your bulletin and invite you to stand for the last verse.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed and dear fellow heirs of the Reformation. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Reformation Sunday is taken from the Gospel of John. We read from chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you are really my disciples. You will also know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "We are Abraham's descendants," they answered, "and we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say you will be set free?" Jesus answered, "Amen, amen, I tell you, everyone who keeps committing sin is a slave to sin. But a slave does not remain in the family forever. A son does remain forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will really be free." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the catechism workbook that I use for our students here at school, there is a question on the Reformation lesson that asks the students to briefly describe the beginning of the Reformation. The answer the book is looking for, of course, is for the students to write something about how Martin Luther nailed the 95 theses or 95 sentences to the church door in Wittenberg, Germany on October 31st, 1517. In these theses, Luther wrote against the false teaching and false practice of indulgences, pieces of paper that the church was selling that people thought bought them forgiveness of sins and kind of got them a free ticket into heaven. This act of nailing these 95 theses against these indulgences on the church door that day put into motion the things that have become known as the Reformation. Historians will point to this day as the beginning of the Reformation, and so do we. That's why we celebrate Reformation Day on October 31st. But is that really the day the Reformation began? No. Now, I'm not going to correct the students if they write that down as their answer this week in the worksheet, but no, it's not really the day the Reformation began. In fact, it couldn't have been. Before the Reformation began, a different kind of Reformation had to have taken place. Not on October 31st, 1517, when Luther nailed those 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg, but when God himself reformed or changed Martin Luther's heart through the power of the gospel message. Think of what that word reformation means. Just kind of break it down. Reformation. To completely change one thing to another, to reform it. That's what God did. God reformed and changed Luther's heart from a dead, lost heart that tried to earn its own salvation through its works to a living, beating, joyful heart of faith that knew and believed that it was Jesus that had paid for all of his sins. A heart that knew Jesus' righteousness covering him was what made Martin Luther righteous and all believers righteous in God's sight. After finally comprehending the gospel for the first time, Luther famously said, "Now I felt as though I'd been born again and believed that I'd entered paradise through widely open doors." It was this gospel of Christ, this power of God for salvation, that gave Luther true peace and true joy. It was this powerful message of the gospel that moved and strengthened him to take a stand on the word of God in the face of some pretty incredible odds. It was this gospel message that moved and strengthened him to work, to teach, to preach, and to write tirelessly for the sake of the souls of his fellow human beings. Ever look back on that time and kind of wish you were part of the Reformation? Well, I'll remind you here today that each one of us has gone through a Reformation, like Martin Luther did. Maybe not in the exact same way in the historical aspects of the Reformation. But each one of us has gone through a Reformation like Luther did through the very power of God's Word. That same powerful Word of God, the gospel message, reformed your heart and mine from stone-dead hearts of death and unbelief to living, beating, active hearts of faith that believe in Jesus. The doors of paradise have been flung wide open for you and me as well because of that saving gospel that created saving faith in your heart and mine. However, I'm also guessing that, like me, there are also things in your life that need a reformation. Are there attitudes, behaviors, and speech in your life that need to be reformed to be less like the world or less prone to our own sinful desires and sinful nature and reformed to be more Christ-like? Well, how can such a reformation like that take place in us? Well, the exact same way God created that reformation in Martin Luther's heart, the same way he made the reformation of creating faith in your heart as well. In fact, Jesus outlines this procedure in our sermon text for today. He says in verses 31 and 32, "If you remain in my word, you are really my disciples. You will also know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus' word is and always is the key. He tells us that. He tells us, first of all, to remain in my word. That word in the original means to live or dwell in something. Here, Jesus is telling us to live, dwell, remain in my word. Notice what he does not say. He doesn't say, look at my word every once in a while. He doesn't say, go to church at least once a month, for sure on Christmas and Easter. But yeah, go to church occasionally. No, he says, remain in my word. That, he says, is the mark of a true disciple, a true follower, a true believer of Jesus. He says, if you remain in my word, you are really my disciples. So, dear fellow believers, does this describe our use of the word of God? Are we always remaining in it, living in it, dwelling in it? Does that describe your Tuesday, for example? No, we must admit it often does not describe our everyday lives. Think for a moment and imagine if Luther had this same attitude towards God's word that we often have. Imagine if he decided, well, I don't really need to go to church every Sunday in order to be a Christian. Or what if he thought, I don't really have to hold to absolutely everything in Scripture. I can throw out a few things I don't really agree with, can't I? If that happened, there would have literally been no Reformation, at least not as it played out in history. In the same way, how can we experience our own Reformation or expect to experience our own Reformation if we're only remaining in God's Word as little as possible? Just doing the bare minimum to keep our consciences appeased, to make ourselves feel like, yeah, we're pretty good Christians. I've picked up the Bible a couple of times in the last month. I've been to church before. Luther dove into those words of God head first. He lived in it. He's said to have spent the first few hours of each day in prayer and meditation in God's Word. Think about that. Not the first, or not a few hours each week, or a few hours each month. He was known to spend the first hours of each day in the Word of God and prayer. Imagine the powerful reformation God's Spirit could work in our hearts if we would invest that kind of effort and time into prayer and the powerful treasure of God's saving Word each day. When Luther dove into those scriptures, he found exactly what Jesus promised in our text. Jesus promised, you will know the truth. And in the Bible, that's exactly what Martin Luther found. He found the Savior himself, who is the Word made flesh. He is the one who describes himself as the way, the truth, and the life. the truth that Luther learned through the scriptures, the truth that we learn when we pick up the scriptures, the Bible, the truth about our salvation is what we find there. We learn that Jesus is God, sent by God to save us from our sins. We learn the truth that we have forgiveness through Jesus' innocent death on the cross. We learn the truth that Jesus leads us to our Heavenly Father. And these truths do indeed, as Jesus says, make us free. That brings us to one of the most misunderstood and misused Bible passages in the entire Bible, which is John 8:32. You will also know the truth, and the truth will set you free. In fact, the moment Jesus said it, the people who heard it misunderstood his words. They said, we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say you will be set free? They mistook Jesus' words there. They thought he was speaking about physical freedom from bondage, which also wasn't true. They said that we have never been in slavery to anyone. Did they forget the 400 or so years they were in slavery in Egypt? Jesus wasn't talking about physical slavery or physical bondage there. So what was Jesus speaking of? The freedom Jesus was speaking of through the truth of his word is being freed not from physical slavery or from even life in prison. He explains in the closing verses of our sermon text that he is talking about a freedom that is much greater. Spiritual freedom from sin. And so he explains to the people who were listening to him and confronting him after he said these words, he says, amen, amen, or truly, truly, I tell you, everyone who keeps committing sin is a slave to sin, but a slave does not remain in the family forever. A son does remain forever. So if the Son sets you free, you really will be free. Freedom from sin means full forgiveness. It means life and salvation in Jesus. It also means being freed from sin's power over us. And having the ability now through Christ's work on the cross and through the Spirit's work in our hearts through the Word to actually say no to sin. If you don't have the ability to say no to something, you do not have true freedom. And true freedom, having power over sin through Jesus' death on the cross, is actual freedom, the freedom to say no to sin. That is how Martin Luther was set free in the truest sense. That is how we are set free in the truest sense. And the gates of paradise are flung wide open for us as well. So yes, today we are celebrating the Reformation. But today and every day can be the day that we celebrate our own Reformation. That same Word of God that reformed and transformed Luther's heart can reform and transform our hearts and minds as well. God has promised great things for us and has promised to do great things through us when we are in His Word. Remain in it, live in it, dwell in it. In His Word, He has taught us the truth of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Know it, believe it. This saving truth gives us true freedom. Freedom from sin, freedom from death itself, even freedom from hell. Freedom to serve God joyfully, lovingly, and with a thankful heart for all that He has done for us. Be free. If the Son sets you free, you really will be free. The Son has set us free. We really are free. So may the Lord make this day and every day a true reformation for each one of us. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Congregation may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate found in the entryway of our church. At this time, we invite the choir to come forward to sing our Reformation hymn, Speak, O Lord. The congregation is invited to join us in singing verse 3. It's printed for you in your bulletin on pages 10 and 11 so you can follow along. I invite you to please rise. We have one prayer request for today, prayers of thanksgiving for Wayne Bliss, who is slated to be released from the rehab center tomorrow and return home. We ask the Lord to continue his recovery process and the healing for his body that he needs. In our prayers today, if you look in the bulletin on page 11 and 12, we have a responsive prayer. We have several prayer requests included in there as well. Prayers for those who have been affected by the flooding and deadly hurricane in Mexico, for peace in the Middle East and in Israel, and for those mourning the loss of loved ones in the recent mass shooting in Maine. Are there any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer and then follow along with the responsive prayer on page 11. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, you are the great physician. You are the healer of body and soul. We thank you for the restoration and healing you've given to our brother Wayne. We thank you that he is going to be able to return home, if it be your will, tomorrow. Bless his time at home now and his recovery there. Bless Terry with the ability to serve and help him as best she can, and help, Lord, his recovery to be complete, if it be your will. Help this difficult situation, Lord, draw them both closer to you in faith and love. Let us pray to the Lord for the church on earth and for all people everywhere, for all who gather here today and for our congregations, that through the gospel the Lord would give us growth in faith and increase our love. We ask you to bless us, O Lord, for the spreading of the gospel throughout the world, for all pastors, missionaries, and their families, that they may boldly proclaim Christ to the nations. We ask you to hear us, O Lord, for the comforting, absolute truth of the gospel, that salvation is found in Christ alone, in his work, and not in anything that we might have to produce or provide. We glorify your name, O Lord, for the people of our country, for the Lord's blessings on our work, for those seeking employment, for good health, for good weather, for sufficient rain during the rainy season, and for protection from wildfires throughout our state and region. We ask you to help them according to your will, O Lord. For all who are sick in body or mind, for the hungry and the homeless, for those who are in prison, for those who are dying, for those who are recovering from the flooding and devastation from the deadly hurricane in Mexico, for Israel and the people in that region of the Middle East who are at war, and for those who are mourning the loss of loved ones in the recent mass shooting in Maine. We ask you to help them, protect them, comfort them, and turn their hearts to you according to your grace and mercy, O Lord. All this we ask, O Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond with a doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Remain standing for our closing hymn. We'll sing God's Word is Our Great Heritage on page 13 in your bulletin. Light from each human. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. On behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. Please sign our guest book in the entryway, and please come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. We also welcome our brothers and sisters from our East Bay congregation who are here with us today. It's always a joy and pleasure to have these joint services and be able to worship Christ together here in one location. Following our service today, we'll be having a fellowship meal. In case you couldn't smell it, before the sermon, I had to make sure that door was closed. It was starting to kind of overpower me, and I was afraid you'd hear my stomach growling through the microphone. There's plenty of food. Please stay for the meal afterwards. Following the meal, we will have a short video. This year marks the 500th anniversary of Luther's translation of the first five books of the Old Testament into German. And so there's going to be a short video that some of our pastors produced on some of the history of that and the significance of the translation of the Bible from the original Hebrew and Greek into the language of the people. For this week, there's a few announcements. Tuesday is, of course, Reformation Day, also known as Halloween. Stockton service will be held on Tuesday at 2 p.m. at Oakmont Senior Living. Wednesday, Bible instruction class with Gary. It's held at 11:30 here at the church, and also confirmation class with Natalie Lang at 4 p.m. that afternoon. Reminder, next Saturday, it's already daylight savings time ending, so turn your clocks back, fall back an hour before you go to bed on Saturday night so you can come to church at the right time next Sunday. Next Sunday, Bible class here will be at 9 a.m., and our worship service with communion will be at 10 a.m., and then the East Bay congregation in Hayward, worship will be with communion at 1 p.m., and the church council has a meeting next Sunday at 2 p.m., so council members, remember the meeting next Sunday. Coming up in this month, our voters here in the Mountain View congregation will have their voters meeting with elections on the 12th, and East Bay will have their voters meeting with elections on the 19th. Speaking of those dates in November, there is a church calendar in your mailboxes. I emailed it out online this morning, and there are some extra copies if you'd like one for yourself on the table in the entryway. So please pick one of those up if you would. Lots of people to thank today for all those who helped decorate and set up and provide food for the Reformation meal. It's very much appreciated. Everything looks very festive. I joked this morning that if you can count how many Luther seals there are throughout the building today, you win a prize. There are tons and tons of them, so you will not miss which Sunday it is with all the different Luther roses and Luther seals throughout the building. Thank you to Barb for playing so much music today. I give her a lot to play on these special services, and we thank her for her services. And also a special thank you to Scott Miller, who has spent a lot of time working on a problematic irrigation issue underneath our sign, of course, underneath a bunch of rocks. And he finished it off yesterday with lots of sweat. So thank you, Scott, for putting in the time to do that. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.